Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but...
possibly.
We have great energy.
Now... back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We got something for you on Draymond Green.
My guy.
Draymond Green.
My guy Draymond Green?
Draymond Green.
All right.
We'll have that for you in about 10 minutes or so.
I don't know if I can wait 10 minutes for more Draymond Green stuff.
Draymond stuff.
Well, you're going to have to because we got Chris Sims stuff first and wonderful callers on our radio show.
Okay. We don't know yet if the callers will be wonderful or not.
But that's my optimism. Just
myopic. Myopicism.
Easy. What is that?
Stand on it.
Yeah.
Say it with your chest.
Stand on what you say.
I can't tell who the callers are. I can just, only I can see the comment, and I can already tell you, I don't like it. That's all I'm going to say about that caller.
That's why that person's going to the front of the line.
But, stand on what you do.
There you go. But first, y'all know Chris Sims, right? Former sort of NFL quarterback.
Former roommate.
Of Kyle Shanahan's and Pro Football Talk alongside Mike Florio. A lot of content. And he has come to be known as, I mean, not a hater. Or would you use that word? Like, he's Kyle's good buddy, but he always likes to needle the 49er fan base, I would argue.
Right.
So is that fair?
Yeah, and I think it's in part the outlet for which he works, because the main guy for that outlet is also known to poke fan bases and do a little bit of lightweight trolling.
Yeah, so he goes after Shanny a lot, and then Sims, who's good friends with Kyle, and then we all kind of go, ooh, whatever he's saying must be coming straight from Kyle because they're good friends, but they've talked about it and how Kyle, like, he doesn't talk to him during the season. He doesn't talk to anybody. Look at that man. He looks like he hasn't slept in a week and a half. But anyway, Chris Sims has also said a lot about Brock Purdy the first 2 years that would lean to the side of things like game manager and concoction of Kyle and product of the system.
System quarterback.
Well, here's what he said today.
I think he's actually having the best year. I mean, it hasn't been a long career, but I would say the best year of his career. He, to me, has made more plays this year outside the realm of, oh, Shanahan has to deliver it for me, and then I take advantage of it, than I've ever seen before. I've seen more high-level throws, for sure, too. He's had moments of where, yeah, maybe he tries to scramble and take over or do something like that, but at the same time, there's no like glaring mistakes of Brock Purdy that I look at to go, oh, yeah, he's really pushing it, you know, and playing too close to the edge there. Not at all. In fact, I went down, like I told you, with my red zone little breakdown on my podcast yesterday. If I would say anything, is he could be a little more aggressive in the red zone. That's why they haven't scored touchdowns. You got to throw a few more lasers, throw the ball into tighter windows because the field is smaller. You got to scramble and make some awkward throws, and that's what you got to do. To me, he's been too conservative down there, so I don't know if I totally agree with stats on that one.
Chris Sims says Brock Purdy's having the best year of his career. Do you agree with that?
No.
Why not?
Because what he said in that clip is, you know, I'm not seeing Brock Purdy making these mistakes. Well, Watch the tape, Chris. I feel like I'm doing Greg Cosell. Watch the throw that ended the ball game when he's blitzed and he's got Kittle open and he held the ball too long. Not a mistake?
I don't think he said, I'm not seeing him make any mistakes. He said, I'm not seeing him make, like, glaring, awful mistakes. And he's comparing him not even to, I don't know.
He's comparing him to himself.
Yeah, he's comparing him to previous years.
And I think that last year he was better than he was so far this year. And, you know, I don't think it's even close. And you talk about the throw in the red zone, as he was mentioning, you got to be able to make throws into tight windows. Well, George Kittle was wide open, and he didn't make a throw into a really wide open window. So I'm not seeing Brock Purdy playing as well as he did last year. If last year was a 9.5 out of 10, this year's probably an 8.5. Still really good, but yeah. I would not agree with Chris Sims assertion.
I think what Chris is saying, and I'm not disagreeing with you, because it's too, quite frankly, it's too early to make that kind of a general statement, but I think what Chris is saying, especially someone who played the position, he's seeing Brock do more from the position this year than he's done in the past. And I think we'd all agree with that, right? It looks like certainly he's putting more on his own shoulders. Yes, he's pushing the ball further down the field. And yes, he sort of has been forced to do the one thing that people were asking him to do, which is, let's see you look good without fancy teammates. And I guess maybe you could say there's only been one real game where he really had to do that. And even though they lost that football game, no one's going to put that one on Brock Purdy. That's the Rams game. He went out there and they moved the ball, and Juwan Jennings had a career day.
Yeah, and he's been good in spots, but I don't think that he's been better than he was last year. I'm just trying to look at some of the basic numbers, and yards per attempt, he was higher last year. Air yards per attempt was higher last year. So even though he is taking more on his shoulders, I don't necessarily equate that to him playing better.
Now you're forgetting the rules on this show. Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers, unless they're my numbers.
Unless they're your numbers.
Numbers are numbers. And numbers are numbers.
Thank you very much. All right.
And numbers are only numbers when they support that Brock is really good on the show.
Isn't that 2024? Did you see anybody on TV giving you numbers that don't support their argument?
I've been doing that for my entire career.
Thank you.
With numbers.
Thank Brock Purdy.
I also will look honestly at the numbers, and I look at his numbers last year because numbers are numbers, and they were better last year. And I see a guy this year who is too eager to do the runaround when there are times when he could stay in the pocket and make plays.
Yeah, the numbers were better last year, but I don't know if this is, you know, numbers don't tell the whole story.
No.
They don't.
2-3 tells me a lot.
That's big.
And he had a chance to bring his team back last Sunday, and he failed to do it.
Yeah, Redwood Dave, Redwood City. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. I talked to you on Monday, and I want to reiterate that this is a must-win game. Because if we don't beat the Seahawks, what we'll be 2-4. Is that right? And then we're going to play KC.
That is accurate. Yes, thank you.
And then we'll be 2-5.
Why does everyone do that? Why, like, first of all, we're not there yet. But why are we just assuming that there's no chance that they beat the Kansas City Chiefs?
Did you see how the Saints torpedoed KC last week, and they still won? If we can't beat the Saints, we can't beat KC. Well, that's just a fact.
We're not playing the Saints. They haven't played the Saints. I don't know. What does the Saints got to do with the Niner-Chiefs game at Levi's Stadium a week and a half from now?
What the Saints got to do with me?
You know, Dave, like,
if we can't beat Seattle, we can't beat KC. That's what I'm saying. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I'll just put it this way. I would ask you if you've watched NFL football this year where the majority, the high majority of favorites at 5.5 points or higher have lost their games. So I'm not one that goes, well, if we can't beat that team, well, then we're not going to beat that team. Like, it's different every week. You see that, Dave.
I do see that, but it's highly unlikely. I mean, it's better for us to win this game, go 3-3, and then our confidence will be back to have a better chance to beat KC.
Well, of course it's better to win. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So must-win game, huh, Dave?
Must-win game. It is, exactly.
Run this guy.
Say it again to Dibs.
Just
coming up.
Where's the button? Hang up on this guy.
I got the button.
I appreciate you, all right, Redwood
bye,
Dave.
Bye, Dave.
Yeah.
Gotta have it.
Well, it's different than must-win. And if you want to say it's a must-win, then I want to make sure we record it. Because if they fall to 2-4, I want you to make sure that we're going to go ahead and shutter the season.
I won't say it.
Yeah,
but
because it's really not.
I'll say it only in the phrase that I heard from the locker room. It's not one, but we're treating it that way.
Good. You should treat every game like that. You should never go into a game and think, you know what? It'd be kind of cool if we won this game. You know what we're going to call this? It's going to be a kind of cool if we won game. Yeah, that's our mindset going in. Every game should be treated like it's a must win. You get 60 minutes to beat the other team.
Of course, of course. But human nature is a very hard thing to fight. And you are not going to treat every game the same. You're just not. Your emotions are not going to be the same every day.
Well, that's where coaching, in my opinion, plays a big role in this, because we can look ahead at Kansas City, but they can't look ahead to Kansas City. They've got a game here in about 2 hours. So whatever happens tonight and you face Kansas City next Sunday, you're going to be at a rest disadvantage. And it's not the last time you're at a rest disadvantage. And I was just looking it up. Yeah. They have the greatest net rest disadvantage. Games where your opponent has more rest than you. It's
in the whole league, right?
It's a record.
Yeah.
It's the greatest rest disadvantage since they started charting it. Minus 32 days.
Hold that thought for later in the year, because it may...
It's a thing.
It's a thing. I think you think it's a bigger thing than I do, but I'll agree with you that it's a thing. It's a thing, no doubt. Will in Berkeley is next up. Hi, Will. What you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm here with the Willard Middle School flag football team. We're going to our game right now.
Hey!
All right.
Are you favored?
And we're wondering... say what?
Are you favored?
Oh, yeah, we are definitely favored.
Okay, what beautiful.
2-0, 3-0.
Nice.
Are you...
1.
Oh!
Don't take Montero lightly now. You gotta make sure you bring your A game when you take on Montero Middle.
We're about to play King Middle School right now. We're wondering, what's up with the Purdy hate? Like, all month I've been hearing, it's the defense, it's the offensive line, you know, and I've been hearing good stuff about Purdy. He's throwing it in the pocket. The yak averages. And now you guys are, like, hating on him. I'm like, what's going on?
Wait, us? Who's hating on Brock Purdy?
Hold on a minute.
I heard some Brock Purdy hate.
That couldn't have been from my partner. That'd be, nothing but love from here.
Good luck in the game, Will. Good luck to those kids that are in that car with you. Grandy, did you hear, can you pull some tape? Did you hear any Purdy hate on this show?
Maybe he thinks you guys are Chris Sims.
I won't have that.
Chris Sims didn't hate Brock Purdy either. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Lucas, did you hear any Purdy hate? Because I won't have that.
All I said was that...
I'll go to HR if there was Purdy hate on the station earlier today.
I think that he was better last year than he's been this year. But if you consider this hate, and last year I gave him a 9.5 out of 10, and this year I have him at an 8.5, if that's Purdy hate...
You're walking a
I'm
very...
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy,
very,
but...
Very thin line.
Must be that rejoiner.
Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. And yes, we will continue to take your calls next. And then we got that Draymond thing. You're going to want to hear this because it's kind of weird. It's like a weird Draymond thing. That's next on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Draymond's car.
And we got a fight.
All right, we just got a fight then. So I guess we're not going to fight then.
I wasn't on the court, though.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's game day, and we'll go back to the phones shortly. How you feeling? How you feeling? Your trust level that the Niners are going to turn this thing around is where? Scale of 1 to 10 if you want, whatever. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls throughout the afternoon as we get you ready for kickoff between the Niners and the Sea Chickens.
Excited.
Chickens.
This is always a good one based on the historical rivalry, and we can go back to the days of LOB and the playoff games and everything, but recent history would tell you that the Niners have had the upper hand,
yep,
having won five in a row in the series.
In the series. In Seattle or in the series?
At Seattle, at San Francisco, at San Francisco, at Seattle, at San Francisco. Five in a row in the series. They've won back-to-back games in Seattle, and they've won three straight in Santa Clara.
I'm trying to remember the game they lost in Seattle.
That was back in 2021, December 5th. Seahawks 30, Niners 23.
Okay, that was in 21.
Correct. 2021.
All right. Okay. All right.
So the last 2 years they've gone there and they've won.
And then it was the year before that that they had the Dre Greenlaw hit at the 1 yard line?
Yeah, I believe so.
Is that right?
Yeah, that would be...
No, that was 2019.
Yeah,
because 2020 they also lost.
Yeah, that was to win the division, okay. 2019, okay. And yep, get the one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, that I remember. Okay. All right, before we go back to the phones, check this out. Our buddy Jordan Schultz, who was just on the show like 3 weeks ago, he just wrote a short time ago, I'm thrilled to announce that I'm joining NFL on Fox as an NFL insider and launching a new show. You ready for the name of the show?
I am ready, yeah. As soon as you're ready. I know you had a big sip to take, and now you got to hurl your can angrily toward the trash can.
It's not empty yet.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Sounded empty.
It's getting there. All right. It's launching a new show. The title of it is... Why is Draymond Green talking about football with Jordan Schultz?
Come on.
That's a great question.
Come on.
I'm not kidding.
That's the title?
The title of the show, Why is Draymond Green talking about football with Jordan Schultz?
Shut the hell up.
Now, so, I don't think he means why is he talking football with Jordan Schultz.
That's what I thought.
Why is he talking football with Jordan Schultz? Like the name of the show is with Jordan Schultz.
Right.
Might be talking football with many people.
He is with Jordan Schultz.
Yes.
But the question
show,
about why is he talking football is just more about why is he talking football.
That's just the title of the show. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you're ready for the blurb? You got a blurb about it.
Blurb it.
Draymond is an avid football fan with a sharp mind for the game. Our weekly show will feature top-tier guests and plenty of lively banter.
No, come on.
Nah, for real. That's what it says.
I believe it. I believe the lively banter part, because that is one of Draymond's elite skills. Lively banter.
Lively banter.
He's really good at lively banter.
He is. He's starting a new show on football. Quote, those who know me, no, I've loved football since I was a little kid.
Yeah. And I mean, it's exciting. It's great. And, you know, Draymond Green is a communications genius. And he understands that when his playing career is over, that he does not have to be limited to the Draymond Green show inside the NBA on TNT. He sees the people who have gone before him, such as Charles Barkley, who is now a golf phenom,
yep,
not for being good at golf, but you can't think celebrity golf without thinking about Charles Barkley and that two-piece of a swing. Charles Barkley's brand, just put on any TV and you get a Subway commercial, and it's Charles Barkley talking about a cold-cut combo. Draymond sees that the wider that you expand your horizons, the more that you can be a part of everything.
Quote, to this day, I love watching football even more than I love watching basketball.
Okay.
A very fun part of this show for me is getting to see the inside work of an insider that I don't often get to see as a player. I'm excited for people to hear our diverse perspectives coming together to talk football.
It's exciting.
That's the press release from Draymond Green and Jordan Schultz.
Yeah. He once played tight end in a spring game, which didn't really go great for him as a player.
Is this at Michigan State?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some footage out there of him trying to get up and catch a pass when, you know, 6'5", not necessarily that much bigger than everyone else, but he probably would be a good tight end if he would have decided to play football.
Had a good build for it, sure.
Good athlete. Yeah. And, you know, really, really not afraid of contact. We know that.
That's true. Hell, if he had been a football player, he might not have been suspended yet. You're allowed to do all of that stuff in football.
Yeah, you can't really throw a punch at a teammate. That's frowned upon.
I would argue that Donald threw a helmet at an opposing player, and nothing happened to him at all.
That's a good point.
They're like, go take a shower. That was his punishment.
Look at any training camp footage on week 3, and you know you got guys throwing hands with each other.
You do whatever the hell you want.
Punching helmets, by the way.
You know what happens under that pile when there's a fumble? You can grab a big handful of whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. It's
no penalty.
Lo Neal and I have had these conversations off the air about the eye gouging and the various grabbing and the clutching, especially when there's a fumble, because then it's like you're allowed to, you know, fight for the ball or balls.
Well, and the ref's not looking because the ref's just looking for the ball. The ref's just trying to peel people off to, like, see who's got the ball. Anyway.
What would your interest level be in watching... Why is Draymond Green talking football? On a scale of 0 to 100.
4.
Wow.
Hey, 4.
All right. There you have it.
I don't really want, like, on Sunday at 10, Red Zone goes on. It stays on. Anytime there's a primetime game, it's on. And that's it.
So do you?
I'm not watching a lot of analysis.
When there's a Niner game and the Red Zone, do you get a second screen?
Second TV.
You go second TV.
Second TV. Automatic. Volume on Niners.
Okay, good.
But yeah.
But it's not like you'll have the Zone on the laptop and you'll watch the game. You'll go second TV.
We go get the bedroom TV and we bring it up to the living room. We plug that thing in, then we sit there and look like we're at a sports bar.
Perfect.
Yeah, we watch them both.
Everything but the booze, I would hope,
kids. Anyway. Fred in Richmond. Hi, Fred. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Just wanted to say, man, I love the show. But I've been an adamant Niner fan since basically I was born in 1983. And right now I'm just relaxing and having a ball, understanding that the grind of a football season is ups and downs. It's week 6. The Niners win tonight, will be the top of the division at 3-3. It's a lot of parity going on in football right now. The Niners are still a top notch team in the league. They're missing one of the, I guess, the best running back in the league as with CMC right now. So all we need to do is hold water. As a Bay Area fan, I think we're just so spoiled with the Warriors and the Niners. It used to be the Giants back in the day, but, you know, the last 5 years, what organization wouldn't want to have their team in the NFC Championship, Super Bowls. So at this point, I'm just an adamant fan. I'm happy for the Niners. I hope Brock Purdy gets paid, and we just continue this leap of 49ers faithful. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Fred, thank you, man. Thanks for listening, Fred.
Fred's welcome in my house to watch football anytime.
Anytime.
That's the way, and that's what I'm talking about.
And that is my favorite four-letter word that starts with F.
What, Fred?
No doubt. Fish would be second,
and I
can't say the third one.
Yeah, you can.
You won't.
Yeah, you can.
Look at Grandy. Yeah. His finger's twitching on the dump button.
No, I'm not.
Somebody said it. Was that yesterday or the day before?
Is it fart?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Oh,
see, you can say that.
Yeah.
You're allowed to see it. You thought you couldn't say that on the radio?
I try not to.
I know. It's a little sophomoric, but that's
I like what he's saying, because if you want to talk about NFL envy, if you just were, and I love your thing about, if you're an alien and you just came down and you landed on Earth and you're trying to pick a team, you would pick Kansas City before the Niners. And
yeah, but then you'd
end
have
of
to,
list.
But then you'd have to do that stupid racist chop thing in the stands. So
I'm just talking about like what team and what current results of, you know, recent vintage you would want. And you look at the Patriots and go, man, I want what they have. And then you look at the roster and go, nah, I'm good. And you look at Kansas City, and yeah, we can put aside the chop, which is continues to be horrific and beyond annoying, but you look at a phenomenal quarterback, best in the business, and a great coach, and a team that seems to win the Super Bowl every year.
And a chance to get a picture with Taylor if you go to the game.
Fair enough.
So that's fun, too.
But outside of that, and you start to like draft teams as somebody who's looking to adopt a team, the Niners might be next on how they've done of late and where they currently sit. So Fred's right. We are a little spoiled.
Fred's absolutely right. And here's the other thing that he said. He said he's chilling. He's Stone Cold chilling.
Yep.
This season's going to go well. I don't know if it is, but here's something I do find funny. Don't you think that sports, like, this is sort of fundamental to it, especially for those of us who talk about it every day, or if you watch a lot, like if you're really dialed in, like predictions, right? Predictions are a part of this. To be predictive, to think about what's going to happen next, whether I'm talking about gambling or not, whatever. But like what we think is going to happen and what you think is going to happen, that's a big part of the experience. Yet for some reason, we get very, very offended if somebody looks at a team that's 2-3 and goes, that's one of the best teams in football. Like, you and I have been sitting in here, and over both of our shoulders, just so happens that FS1 is on right now. And the show has got Joy Taylor, our friend, and then Keyshawn Johnson, and Paul Pierce, and today's guest is Brandon Ayuk's personal coach, TJ Houshmandzadeh.
He's not better than me.
No, he's not. And Keyshawn's up there giving his top 10 teams so far on the young season.
I love it.
10 teams. And I get it, because we understand the game of sports media, so they're purposefully putting poison pills in the water to get you all riled up so that you'll react and engage. So I understand it. But at the same time, it's sort of how you're forced to do it. There's no 2-3 teams up on that board.
No.
The Denver Broncos apparently are the 7th best team in the NFL.
Man, seems a little high to me, Mark.
Oh God. Why are we allowed and sort of wanting to pick games and have predictions about how things are going, but you're not allowed to have the opinion that the 49ers are still one of the top 10 teams in the game?
Well, are you allowed to think that Denver's the 7th best team in football?
I think it's absurd.
But are you allowed to?
You're allowed to think whatever you want.
Because they're tied for 6th right now in the NFL in record.
Yes.
And at 3-2.
And if you want to celebrate after 5 games, and maybe you're one of these people because you're doing it with your fantasy team, if you want to celebrate after 5 games, be my guest. Knock yourself out. The game, like, this is, to say that the Niners are not one of the best teams in football is no different than taking your shirt off and doing a victory lap tonight through the whole neighborhood if the Niners are up 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. We're 5 games in. We're 5 games in.
Right.
That means nothing.
Well, then stop telling me that this is a really big game or that this is a must win. Stop.
I'm not.
I'm telling the audience.
It's a big game.
But it's 5 games in.
It's not that big a deal. They're all big games. They're all big games. The point is that most of them haven't happened yet. That's the point.
But the point also for me is if you keep losing these games, then the big games won't ever happen.
That's correct.
If you're 2-11 and you go into week 14 or week 15 because you'd be off your bye already, that's not a big game. No,
but that's different. That's not reality yet. Like, what I'm sort of holding very dear here is something that Greg Cosell said to us yesterday.
Oh, that guy.
Well, the Niners didn't just become sucky overnight. I don't buy it. And just because they're 2-3, people want to go, well, not that good this year. I don't buy it. I do not buy that the 49ers are not good this year. And I am ready and willing to be completely wrong a month from now when they're 2-7 or whatever.
That could be.
It could be.
It could be 2-6 going into the bye.
They could be. They could also win all of their games for the rest of the year.
Yeah. 2-15 is still in play, as is 14-3.
Sure.
There are only a few records that are not in play. 1-16, 0-17, 17-0, 16-1, 15-2.
Well done.
Those are the only ones that they cannot be. And that's it.
And
so,
they could petition the league to see if they could do that too, because I know they did that with their uniforms last week, but I think the league will say no.
Which I don't think that was an embarrassing look.
It wasn't at all.
And I don't think either that it's one of those rules that I would hold against Kyle Shanahan for not knowing. When you don't know the overtime rules, or maybe you do, but you don't know how to navigate
it.
That's a bigger deal than if you don't know the uniform rules, which they didn't know the uniform rules, which is you got to tell us before the year.
I don't know if they
that's the rule.
I don't know if they didn't know them. They tried to see if the league would make an exception.
Fair enough.
Where, like,
either way, and that doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me at all. Have you not done that in your life?
With like a dress code?
I give you with anything. With anything. Listed rules, and then you call someone and try to get an exception.
Never, Mark. I'm a rule obeyer to the nines. Hey, nobody asked you, Grandy.
I signed up. I signed Jude up for a camp this summer. Expensive one. Because all of his good buddies were going to be in that camp.
Is this the one you were promoting all year, or is this a different one?
No. Yeah, we did that. I signed him up for this camp, and it's kind of expensive because they go around over here and over there, and they do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And right, there's a lot going on. And all of his buddies were going to be in it. So I signed him up. I paid that thing. Hmm. And then I got a call from one of his best friend's dad, like, 3 days before the camp starts. And he goes, Mark, I feel terrible.
I'm out.
We told you the wrong week.
Oh, boy.
They're all going next week.
Oh, come on.
Not this week. Well, it says right there on the camp page, we ain't doing refunds 10 days before the camp starts.
Yeah.
That's a no from us dog.
Mm.
What do you think I did? Just eat it? No. Let's call the league and see if they'll make an exception.
I'm going to eat it.
Move you over a week.
Sorry, so we're unavailable that week. We're going to be out of town.
Mm.
I'm going to just actually need my money back.
You didn't want to shift to the other week. Oh, you were going to be out of town.
We're out of town.
Gotcha.
We're out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they tried all that. How about if we shift you to another week? Can't do it. Can't do it.
You got your money back, though.
Yeah. They made an exception.
Can't do it.
I had to pay whatever they call it, a processing fee.
That's fine.
Cannot play with
them. That's fine. Well, if they're hitting you for $600 a week, and I'm just going to throw that out as a guess.
Just a rando number.
It's random. And if they hit you for a $60 processing fee at that point, all right. You can hit me for $60 instead of $600.
The numbers you're talking about are
ballpark
commensurate
fine.
With what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how that goes.
That's what the Niners did. Hey, we know the rule, but it's going to be 1,000 degrees. We wondered if you'd make an exception. League said no.
Right.
Enough for me.
Both teams
Doug.
Are just going to wear white? Shanahan?
No. No,
here's
Cardinals,
an idea.
The
check
Cardinals
your forecast in August and realize that it gets hot in October. Dude. It's always hot in October
here. It's never been that hot ever. Like, literally the hottest game in the history of the stadium.
That's pretty hot.
It was pretty hot.
Yeah.
It was very, very hot. Anyway, that's all I'm saying. We didn't get to that the other day. For those of you who don't know, our predecessors, Steiny and Guru, made like a whole two-hour thing of how it was a bad look that the Niners even asked, and championship teams wouldn't do that. Disagree. They made a phone call. They tried to get a little something-something, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's all.
No biggie.
That didn't do a thing to
me. Not knowing the overtime rules, that's a big deal.
He did know the overtime rules. Kyle Juszczyk didn't know the overtime rules.
Not teaching your own players about the overtime rules, that's a big deal.
Agreed. Agreed.
Choosing incorrectly in overtime, that's a big deal.
Or maybe Kyle wasn't listening in class.
Yeah, Harvard educated.
Just because you're Harvard educated, you never slept through class? You went to a four-year university.
A couple of them.
Did you ever just get high and skip it?
Mark, how long did it take me to graduate?
More than 4 years.
Not six, not seven.
Not 10, not 11.
That's why I laugh when they call it a four-year. Are you going to a four-year university? Not that kid.
Dude.
You're going to a seven-year university.
My kid's trying to make up for the old man, and little guy, he could have graduated in 3, but he realized, Dad, I think I'm going to go back to UCSB. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
How many classes do you have left to take?
Dad.
2. He's already finished his Spanish minor, and this whole, all three of these quarters is basically, he's got Chillin' 101, he's got Advanced Beach, he's got Isla Vista Lab.
Brother, I did bowling quarter.
That's what I did, too. Yeah, it was great.
My last quarter was bowling. They're like, what other class? No, you didn't hear me. Bowling.
I took bowling for 5 years at Cal State Northridge. Five of the greatest junior years.
Wow, that's a good. Found your best impression.
Thank you.
That's way better than your Farhan.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that anymore.
Sucks. I can't
do it. Here.
I'll do my Buster for you. You ready? It's a lot like my Wiggins.
Yeah, let's hear.
Except there's a little bit more. What? That's my Buster.
Don't get Buster on our bad side before this is even started. Come on, man. Buster freaking Posey. Have some respect.
Good luck getting a free agent with him in charge.
What are you talking about?
Hi, this is Buster. Yeah, I know you probably don't want to come here because the city's a dump. Yeah, all right. I'll call you back when we move to Sacramento.
It's not it. He moved his family here. He doesn't think it's a dump, Dibs.
Ah, he moved it here.
It's Lafayette.
Thank you.
Yes, there's a BART station. It's wonderful there. It's beautiful.
It's great, yeah. I prefer Rinda, but Cook's in Lafayette. Anyway.
Good school system.
Green. Why is Draymond Green talking football?
I don't know.
I can't wait.
I don't know.
You know I'm locked in on that.
You're not. You're not.
I am excited, though, about having that be content for the show, because something will be said or something will happen, and that will become a part of the show.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only actual thing you could that's even worthwhile sitting here and talking about is Draymond, like, really, like, super, uber still focused on basketball? That'd be the only question that I would ask. And I'm not, like, accusing him of not, but I'd ask the question. Like, you've only got so much energy in a day in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, how many shows are you going to do before we go, are you still doing this show? Are you still, you're like, the Warrior Games.
Right.
You okay? Are you tired? And Draymond maybe never gets tired of talking. I've met people like that.
It's funny you say that, because as you were laying that out, I was thinking about you, a guy who's got four jobs, this one being one of them.
Depends on the time of year.
Teach, talk, and talk. As far as that, and plus you do a little side piece when there's an actual college conference around. So you have four or five jobs, yet whenever you show up to this job, I'll give you full credit that you're here, you're immersed, and you do this job.
When the bell rings, you gotta be ready to go.
Right, and so as long as Draymond is still doing that, then I have no qualms with all these side pieces.
I don't want you to have any qualms with me. That would not be good.
Just don't start mailing it in now. I got a 2-year-old. I'm going to need another 15 of these.
Years?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And we're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. In a half hour, our guy, Jake Hutchinson, is going to join us on the Niner injuries, the Niner situation. But we keep taking your calls, 888-957-9570. That is the number. I have absolutely no hesitation sitting here right now and still telling you that the 49ers are one of the better teams in football. Is that fair? We keep talking it out on Willard and Dibs.
How high are you?
I'm high, bro.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean, uh-oh? That's no way to start a segment.
Uh-oh. Wow, it actually is this segment, because you know what's happening within the next 20 minutes in the United States of America?
No, it's going to be 4 o'clock and you... Oh, time for the legal.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
And then we will also...
That's not what you mean?
No, you know what's coming. And I just want to read an all caps text from the Comcast business text line from the 510. Thank you, 510. Thank you for listening. Thank you for engaging in the show. We really appreciate it. All caps. Willard, please do not do a Fade the Dibber segment for tonight's game. I'm begging you. 4 exclamation points.
Wow. Begging? Yeah.
4 exclamation points.
That seems a little dramatic.
But we are contractually obligated. It's an obligation sensation.
That's a buck.
And there will be a Fade the Dibbers coming up here very, very soon. But we do actually have something meaty to discuss here, and it's Charvarius Ward. It's feeling to me, based on what I'm reading, like it is unlikely that he is going to be cleared to play in this football game.
Okay.
That's not a report as of yet, but I can share with you what our friend Nick Wagner of ESPN covers the 49ers and is on the scene, has just written on Twitter. He wrote, after a long conversation with the training staff, Ward went to the end zone to chat briefly with Diamador Lenore and is now sitting on the bench as many of his teammates warm up.
That's not promising.
No. And also, that came after Ward was doing individual drill work under the guidance of Daniel Bullocks and members of the training staff observing. So,
I'm looking at that as we speak from Matt Maiocco on Twitter, and his comment was, Charvarius Ward, knee, in parentheses, went through a workout. I don't know. From Matt Maiocco 1 minute ago, and I'm looking at the, he does side to side, he does a back pedal, he runs forward, he catches it, and he turns, and he doesn't look spry and excited about playing football here in an hour and a half.
Well,
95.7 The Game.
There you go.
Breaking news.
You said it did an hour and a half. That's when inactives officially come out, and I can confirm Charvarius Ward inactive tonight for the 49ers in Seattle, along with Josh Dobbs, the emergency third quarterback, tight end Braden Willis, linebacker Demetrius Flanagan Falls, offensive lineman Ben Bartsch, kicker Jake Moody, no surprise there, defensive tackle Jordan Elliott as well. But the big one, Charvarius Ward out tonight.
There it is.
Yep.
Okay, so the great matchups that we've seen through the years between Charvarius Ward and DK Metcalf will not happen tonight. So, Demo, let's see it, man. You step up. You are the number one guy. And also, I would imagine that Renardo Green, the rookie, is going to have a role. And I'm really looking at the youth in the defensive backfield of this football game. With Hufanga out and Charvarius Ward out, it does mean, I would think, on some level, elevated roles tonight for Malik Mustafa and Renardo Green. And hey, draft class, chop chop, let's see it.
Dude, and that's exactly what I was thinking. You took the words right out of my mouth. It's the youth movement. You've got Jair Brown drafted last year, Malik Mustafa this year, Renardo Green this year, Diamador Lenore drafted in 2021. He's now the OG in that group. And you throw in Isaac Yiadom, who is a bit of a veteran, and he's been, I know it's been a bit of a struggle, but now he steps up into probably the Charvarius Ward role. So you're going to have, you know, Demo and Yiadom, and you're going to have the young guys all going to have to contribute here against a very good receiving core and
a physical receiving core. Yeah, it's a good core.
So the youngsters are going to be tested for a lot of these guys' first game up there in Seattle, too.
I even like their third receiver, if you'd even call him that. Maybe he's their number two now. You know, Tyler Lockett's been around for a while, but Jackson Smith and Jigba is he's a player. So what this says to me is the 49ers are going to need to lean also on their defensive philosophy. And their philosophy is that it starts with the pass rush. And the play of your defensive backs is elevated because of the speed of the game that's created by your pass rush. And Nick Bosa, I would argue this year, has played really good football, but he hasn't been necessarily the individual game wrecker that people want him to be. To me, sometimes I look at what he does, knowing the way offenses really account for him, and I look at what that sets up for other players, and are those players making good on those opportunities. If that much energy is going to be focused on Nick Bosa, you're going to need one-on-one wins from guys like Leonard Floyd and the others who will be rotating in. We'll see if Sam O is going to get in there and do some things. And so that group is going to have to do really well, because if Geno Smith gets a lot of time with that receiving core and now your number one corner out, oof. Yeah, this could be a game where the scoring needs to be high, quite frankly.
And if you add in the fact that Kenneth Walker III is a very good running back and the 49er run defense has not been sparkly, you're setting up for a tough night defensively unless, like you said, some of the guys up front can wreck the game. The one bit of good news is Seattle's offensive line is not good.
Correct.
They've got a lot of starters who are out due to injury. Old friend Laken Tomlinson will be out there at left guard, and he's the veteran and kind of an aging veteran and somebody that there isn't a lot of faith in among Seattle people that I've talked to. So it's an offensive line that can be had by an aggressive front.
Yeah, but we've felt that way the last handful of weeks. Felt that way against the Rams. Felt that way against the Cardinals. And, you know, they were okay in those games, but they weren't great. They didn't wreck the game. This one feels a little scary. Now, I will say this from the other angle. The other angle is Mooney Ward has not played very good football this year. So I'm not saying I'd rather have him out of the game, but I feel like you've sort of made this point, as have others, with regard to Hufanga, who's still coming back from injury, did not quite play great and have his legs underneath him kind of a thing. And so when he got hurt and it was like, oh, he's going to be out for a little while, there were some people that went, you know what, I'm not sure that right now that their lineup isn't better without him. I don't feel that way about Mooney Ward. But I will say, I wasn't feeling good about the matchup between him and DK Metcalf anyway, with the way he's played this year.
Yes, but his replacement, if it's Isaac Yiadom who steps up now, he's a guy who has had, at times, some difficulty in coverage. And I do like what I've seen from Jair Brown, and Malik Mustafa's made some plays, but he's very green and very new. And same thing with Renardo Green, who, if you're going to elevate him now into a more pertinent or important role, then you start to really look at young players. And it's kind of a big ask when you've got two rookies and a second year guy back there, and you're asking them to now come in and anchor a secondary. And again, everything is made better by a pass rush that gets after a quarterback and makes a quarterback uncomfortable. And I think it has to be players other than Nick Bosa, because you made a good point a little bit ago about the fact that every single snap he's getting doubled or he's getting singled and chipped. There's never a snap where it's just him against the left tackle.
They account for him, for sure.
I'd like to see the Niners move him around a little bit more. I haven't seen a bunch of that this year. Put him over the right tackle sometimes. Now, I don't think you want to put him inside the A gap and over the guard.
Yeah,
exactly. But go ahead and flop him to the other side sometimes and see if you can't exploit some of those matchups.
Yeah, well, and then there's this stat. The 49er secondary, right? Just the corners and the safeties have a sum total of interceptions this year.
Yeah, zero.
None. And now they are a man down and is supposed to be their number one guy. And you're going against the guy who has passed for more yards than anybody in the NFL. So that's a little circumstantial too. But this is an X's and O's matchup that I will admit, a little bit scary. That's a little bit scary to not get Mooney Ward out there tonight. Matt in Seattle wants to weigh in on that. Hi, Matt. Thank you for calling the show.
I just want to say real quick, Dibs, you killed it with Saucy yesterday. Let's do it on the radio. Just want to give you props. But I was kind of thinking when you broke down the news of Mooney Ward being out, at first I was worried because I was thinking DK Metcalf's going to go wild. But then I thought about it from a fan perspective watching the game. I started to think, what's a better way to get these young guys pumped up for a big game where it's not a big must-win, but they got to show up on a Thursday night with the bright lights here against a 12th man. I just feel like from a fan perspective, they're going to really hopefully rise to the occasion, and hopefully that Bosa and our boys can really step up. And just wanted to say that I'm looking forward more to Ward out, and hopefully Matthew Wright can step up tonight as well.
Yeah, that's it. You know what? Thanks, Matt. Matthew,
thank you
Wright,
for the kind words.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
For those who don't know, even know who Matthew Wright is, that's the Niners kicker now for the next handful of weeks. And we haven't even brought up the fact that I don't know what to expect from Matthew Wright. He's been in the NFL before, and his numbers are fine. But whenever you hand it over to somebody who was sitting on the street, especially on a Thursday night primetime game, and the locker room's running around going, this is a must win, or we're treating it that way, and this guy walks in, and it's like, dude, don't miss a big kick. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot on his shoulders. That's what kickers do, and he's a pro. So I'm not terribly worried about it, but it's an unknown.
Yes.
It's a total unknown.
If the number of teams you've been on is greater than the number of years you've been in the league, you're probably a journeyman.
Is that true?
I just had to Google the stats because, to be honest, I was doing the thing with Softy last night in Seattle, and I couldn't remember his name.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that Jake Moody was out, and I said, yeah, they got a new kicker coming in. He's going to be asked to kick, and he's got a couple of names. Couldn't remember
it. Super weird if they brought him in to do something else.
Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Kansas City, or Pittsburgh again in Carolina. So this would be his...
Oh, somebody brought him back, so they liked him.
Yeah, this would be his fifth team, and this is year five. So
okay,
I counted Pittsburgh twice. He was only one team, really. But
he's never done enough to stick and stay. But I also think he's only had, what, maybe 40 kicks in his career? Something like
40
that?
40 of 47.
40 of 47.
6 of 9 from 50 and beyond.
That doesn't sound terrible.
No. And 11 of 14 from 40 to 49. So 17 of 23 from beyond 40. That's not great.
17
of 23 from 40 and beyond.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's a reason why he is an available kicker. Who, yeah. Like you said, he hasn't latched onto a team. He's no Kaimi Fairbairn, that's for sure.
He is not Kaimi Fairbairn.
I like to throw that out there every now and again.
It's a good name. Is he your kicker?
No, I've got that Cincinnati bum, Evan McPherson, Captain P.A.T., whatever. He's actually been good. He's been good.
Fine. Yeah. They don't
kick better than having one of these rooks, right? Like the Ram guy and the Packer guy.
Well, you know what?
Struggling.
Hey, I don't want this to turn into a fantasy show, but there's one point that should be made here, because I know a lot of people who are like the kickers. What are we doing with the kick? Well, if you're all going to make 58 yarders and 60 yarders are now just like garden variety, these kickers are winning games. You got kickers going out there and getting 20 points. In a fantasy game,
yep.
They're going to have to change the numbers. They're going to have to, like a 50-yard field goal being 5 points, that's too much.
Agreed.
It's like almost like your team's getting a touchdown.
And is a 60-yarder six?
Yes. Okay. It's like a touchdown. And it's way easier than an actual touchdown, I would argue.
Yeah.
You're the only one who has the opportunity to kick it, and you all can do it now.
They just need to scale it back.
Yeah.
Like 50 should be 4 points, 40 should be 3.
That's my prediction.
Then, yeah.
My prediction is people are going to start either removing kicker from the game entirely, or they're going to reboot the scoring.
Or instead of half point PPR, it's half point PAT.
Oh, that's fun.
You know, that's whatever.
Fun. Look at you. Good ideas. All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.